Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Revelle, and this is the ValueSide.com preview for Monday, October 25. For all our podcast article references and charts, please visit ValueSide.com. Today, Evergrande goes for number one in corporate malfeasance. That, plus our preview of this week's economic reports, as well as corporate earnings, coming right up. Well, China is a land of superlatives, a country that likes, really strives, to be number one. Of course, you know that China has the largest population in the world at an estimated 1.4 billion souls. Did you know that China, by some measures, also has the largest economy in the world, exceeding the USA? Or that it now has the largest navy in the world? That China is the largest Bitcoin miner in the world? Well, you may not realize is that China is also the largest polluter in the world. Not since 19th century London, as the capital city had the air pollution of Beijing today. Or that China leads the world in human rights abuse. Their treatment of the Uyghurs and of Tibet represents the worst in humane treatment. Or that China treats its workers worse than just about any other country, with essentially no social safety regulations and no social net. This week, China goes for yet another record, number one in corporate malfeasance. This is a record long held by the Americans when 13 years ago Lehman Brothers, the large New York-based financial firm, threatened the U.S. economy. As Lehman was the direct cause of America's steepest recession of the 21st century. Now, China's candidate for number one in corporate malfeasance is, as you know, the Evergrande Group, headquartered in Guangzhou. Evergrande began as a real estate developer, designing and building luxury apartments for upscale Chinese. Today, Evergrande more closely resembles what we in the West would recognize as a financial services company, with real estate merely providing the vehicle for Chinese investors. Unlike Americans who use the stock market by and large to save for their retirement, the Chinese use real estate, placing deposits on Evergrande apartments that they will later live in at their retirement. And it's here that the parallels between Lehman Brothers and Evergrande really become startling. The key is that both companies use leverage through real estate, to magnify first their growth and now their fall. You see, both banks and investors love to lend against real estate. You've heard the old saying, they ain't making any more real estate. It's considered the safest collateral there is. So in the hands of an unscrupulous company, leverage can be piled on top of leverage, creating what eventually becomes a house of cards. Lehman Brothers used unbelievable amounts of leverage in their subprime mortgage portfolio, but Evergrande looks to far exceed that in their bid to become number one in overleveraged and malfeasance companies. With potential default on over $300 billion in debt, Evergrande would more than double Lehman. And for those looking for the truly historic, there are a couple of reasons to think that even this exalted number may be understated. The first is China's notoriously loose bookkeeping. The SEC has been warning Americans for months now that Chinese company accounting policies and books and records simply cannot be trusted. That stated loans may wildly underestimate real corporate debt. That off-balance sheet agreements may send debt levels much higher than they appear. Now, the second major difference between Lehman and Evergrande is the international nature of Evergrande's debt. Using offshore jurisdictions like the Bahamas and the Cayman Islands, Evergrande floated substantial amounts of bonds, all U.S. dollar denominated. This gave Evergrande access to an entirely different subset of investors. It is known, for instance, that several major U.S. funds have invested heavily in Evergrande offshore bonds and are likely to be heavily impacted should Evergrande default. In fact, it's these offshore investors who are most at risk. If you've noticed so far, Evergrande has made two interest payments, but not to the offshore investors, only to the Chinese, in yuan-denominated bonds that have been paid, a policy which I believe originates from Beijing, which allows for only Chinese nationals to be compensated. Put it all together, and you have perhaps the largest individual company financial crisis in history, made all the more impactful because of its international investors, overseen by a political system which is not necessarily pro-capital and does not follow the same accounting and bankruptcy rules and regulations that we have here in the West. Now look for all this to begin to come together this week. You may remember the 30-day grace period on interest payments for payment number one comes due this week. My guess is that the payment will not be made and that the Chinese regulators will find a way to give Evergrande yet even more time. If I were an offshore bondholder, I'd be sweating bullets right about now. Now, looking forward to this week, we will get the earnings results from the Big Five: Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. Then the preliminary estimate for U.S. GDP in the third quarter, and monetary policy decisions from central banks at Japan, Canada, Brazil, and the Eurozone, all just ahead of the Fed's own monetary decision next week. And that's ValueSide.com for Monday, October 25. For all our podcasts, blog posts, and charts and research, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.